This is Great FM, a podcast series by Great HR. Produced by Timber Media.
Welcome back to Great FM, everybody. I'm your host, Ahalya. And today we're picking up the conversation around AI once again. What can I say when there's so much to talk about? What else is there to do except put it under the spotlight and get into it, right? But on today's episode, we're actually coming at it a little differently. You know, HR was one of the first business functions that was transformed by the presence and use of AI. As the situation evolves, one thing has become amply clear. The ethical use of AI in HR has to be considered, prioritized, and eventually solved for. AI tools are being used across the board, affecting the lives of those who really make up your organization in some way or the other, right? Whether it's the intake of resumes, hiring processes, productivity. According to a 2022 PwC study, 95% of HR leaders have either implemented new methods to track remote worker productivity or plan to do so in the future. So let's just say we're surrounded by these tools in some way, shape or form every single day. And like with any piece of technology, if it has the potential to impact your people, it is absolutely critical that we proceed with caution and have stringent ethics and compliance guardrails around it. And the same goes for AI. But with a field that is so new and so dynamic, I know some of us can hardly keep up. It can be hard to figure out what ethical use really even means. So we're going to attempt to do that today with Pranam S. Karpur, Lead AI Value Transformation at Genpact. With over two decades of experience in data, AI, and business and technology consulting, Pranam has been instrumental in transforming business landscapes across diverse industries. Welcome, Pranam. Thank you so very much for being with us. I think you're the perfect person to talk to about this, given that you've probably seen AI, data, and analytics really grow from the time they enter the workplace.
Thank you so much for the introduction and for inviting me to this podcast. I'm truly honored and excited to be part of this conversation. And interestingly, not to explain what AI is, because frankly, it's so democratized today, but to dive deeper into how HR professionals are not just adapting to it, but actively shaping it in future within organizations.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's kick off the conversation. I think that is, you know, a good place to start, right? So let's start with the two ways that AI and HR interact, right? One is the very use of it within the function, right? But then there's the second use, which is HR's involvement in implementing AI in an ethical way throughout the organization. I want to get your first thoughts. Do you think the second point that I just mentioned is valid? Does HR really need to be considered with the latter?
First off, Ahalya, all views that I'm going to express today are my own and not necessarily reflect any official policy or position of organization. Mm-hmm. Having put that disclaimer there, all of us have spoken or seen how AI is helping HR in different ways, whether it is sifting through resumes or selecting candidates, so on. So let's, given the leaps and bounds that AI has taken today, let's move beyond the fundamental use cases. Talk about four strategic ones. The first one, let's talk about talent acquisition, right? It is not about just sifting through resumes. The new frontier that AI has breached is prescriptive recruitment, where AI doesn't just highlight attrition risk, but actually orchestrates the hiring, dynamically suggesting optimum talent pools, recalibrating employee branding in real time, and even diagnosing uncompetitive compensation packages. So this is one. Second, the dynamic workforce optimization is something that is figuring on every HR professional's radar today, because you're moving beyond managing headcount to looking at capabilities. We are looking at how can AI help with dynamic human capability mapping. Imagine AI analyzing some project data, certifications, even those behind-the-scene collaboration networks that people are part of, to build a real-time, high-definition map of your organizational skills. That's going to be invaluable, right? It's just not about spotting gaps, but predicting them before they become headaches. That's where AI can help. And the third one is hyper-personalization. That's something very interesting, where we're already using AI for sentiment analysis. How do you hyper-personalize this? Like AI ethically analyzing word patterns, project loads, and even subtle shifts in communication to proactively nudge certain programs like well-being checks, recommending some stress-busting resources, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And last, but the most important one, ethical AI, which is the elephant in the room, right?
Yeah.
It's just not about a checkbox, but it should be everybody's collective North Star. We need explainable AI where we actually understand why an algorithm made a particular call.
Yeah.
And we have to be relentless in rooting out bias. Okay. So which leads to more robust data governance, transparency with employees, and a healthy dose of leadership courage to do it.
Yeah, no, I think that is such a comprehensive overview of the lay of the land today, right? And some of those things really surprised me. I do sometimes have to pinch myself and remind me that I'm still in 2025, because it feels like we're living in some futuristic world where, you know, AI involvement has become so omnipresent that sometimes you don't even realize, right, what it's up to. And I suspect, actually, Pranam, that the last two areas, of course, ethical AI is the elephant even in our podcast today, but the previous one, right, that you mentioned, hyper-personalization, amongst other areas, are probably where ethical considerations really creep up, because we're talking about AI interacting with your very employees on a daily basis. Yeah. Sure. So could you run us through the main areas of AI use in HR where these ethical considerations are the most present?
Okay, let's dive right in that case. Okay, I'll address three areas, and these are the most transformative ones in HR, right? One is about, I touched upon it briefly, it is the strategic workforce planning and how do you acquire talent. As we spoke about AI addressing or identifying skill gaps and addressing it, it's almost as if the algorithm is looking at market trends, forcing a cultural fit. It's almost like next level matchmaking. And this is where ethics takes center stage. Are our algorithms quietly echoing the biases baked into our historical hiring data, accidentally narrowing what our talent pipelines are? In fact, there was a very interesting quote I read from this lady called Kathleen O'Neill, who authored the book called Weapons of Math Destruction. She says, algorithms are opinions embedded in code, right?
Yeah.
So it's our job to make sure that these opinions aren't quietly sabotaging our efforts to build diverse, equitable teams.
Yeah.
Right? Next is the employee experience retention, which is core to the HR function. Right? It's a heartbeat of any organizations. It's just not about answering quirky questions. It's about analyzing sentiment from feedback, engagement surveys, and even exit interviews. Right? Helping HR spot pain points and boost retention before the issues snowball. And now, there's an ethical balancing act here. Data privacy, security, and the ever-present question, are we being watched?
Kind of, yeah, right?
Employees need to know exactly what's being collected, how it is anonymized, and how it's used. So that was the second one. And the third one I wanted to speak about is performance management and learning and development.
Okay.
Now, when you're looking at it, it's like, how do you ensure that every employee gets their own career GPS, so to say? So while you do that, that's about learning about you, being hyper-efficient digital course that helps you on your learning path, recommended courses, spotting skill gaps, etc. But the ethical twist in it is, how much of these recommendations are truly fair and transparent? Or are we accidentally building this phrase that I read the other day, digital glass ceilings, right?
Yeah.
Because if you end up using mysterious black box algorithms, do we know why AI is nudging somebody towards a certain path? We will know, right? I think the bottom line is, in learning and development, AI should be an opportunity enabler, not a gatekeeper. It should help everyone reach their full potential, not just the usual suspects.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I want to kind of dissect your second point there, the idea of, you know, people feeling like they're being watched, they're being tracked without their knowledge. I think this is a conversation that has played out in the past as well, Pranam, in different contexts, right? But always in the case of any technological advancement, there are these issues, right? These starting troubles, because I mean, it's unfamiliar territory. So people are obviously really hesitant to dive into it. And we kind of saw this entire argument play out with social media and, you know, the Facebook and Instagram and Meta of it all, which was really that, you know, I got into it. It was a bit of fun. And now I don't even know how it's changed my life forever. And that, I think it's going to be the same conversation we have, of course, you know, at a different level. Yeah. So what kind of behaviors or approaches from HR professionals, because we opened the conversation saying that, of course, getting people to be comfortable with it and getting them to feel safe with it should be a concern for HR. So what kind of, you know, behaviors can HR professionals demonstrate that can help alleviate these concerns for employees within an organization?
Glad that you brought that up. Okay, so let me address this in two parts. Part one is where we look at HR's roles in helping employees adopt AI, right? Because that's the start. And second, what do we actually do to address the hesitancy? How do we alleviate the hesitation part that you spoke about? Okay? So if you look at some stats, and this is something that came up in a recent article, is that almost 80% of organizations are projected to use AI for workforce planning this year. And 70% of the employees are expecting personalized AI-driven development. Mm-hmm. So to look at it, teams are already swimming the deep end of the digital pool, to say. Right? But now what people want is formal training for AI adoption. Because they're less worried about being replaced by robots, but more concerned about being left behind. Right? Recently, I was talking to one of my HR friends, CHROs, and he said, AI didn't take my job. It actually gave me time to do it.
Yeah.
So that's a perspective to have when you're getting in here. Mm. So in fact, the most successful organizations are those where HR leads the AI charge, right? Because it's about having HR and AI in a tango. That's when everybody wins. Now, because the way I see it, the HR function is the architect for upskilling. They're designers for reskilling and champions of change management, right? It's almost like if you're going on an AI road trip, your HR function is the GPS that leads you there.
Yeah.
Now let's address the question on how do you elevate. So when we are rolling something out, a few approaches that I've seen working. Number one, we have to demystify AI through transparent, jargon-free communication. It can be through open forums, live Q&A, where employees can actually voice their anxieties, right? Acknowledge any job security concern they have without actually sweeping it under the digital rug, so to say, right? Number one. Number two, I think we should transform resistance into advocacy by actually inviting the employees to co-create, make them part of the journey, involve them in critical thinking, show how AI can elevate and not eliminate their role, right? Remember, education is the antidote to anxiety. So address that. The third, the final one that I think of is building trust, and trust through consistent, candid dialogue. Always share the vision, outline the benefits, and above all, keep the process human. After all, you are dealing with human beings. That's very important in my view. So
I think some really important and practical ways to get people together, get them to feel less afraid. And, you know, the first point about AI giving you the opportunity to actually do your job and do it well is a great mindset shift, one that we have spoken about on the podcast before. And, you know, come to think of it, AI is just one of those avenues that allows us to level up, which has become such a big focus in today's workplace, right? On an individual individual or collective level. It's all about notching the next achievement. It's all about upskilling and constantly progressing and taking what's already good, turning it into something even better. In the words of the Great to Great campaign that we're running at Great HR, it's really just about redefining what excellence can mean. Yep. It's the world we're living in now, and it's important to embrace it, you know. I guess a follow-up I have, I love, you know, really exploring two sides of the story. You've told us how HR can help. What kind of things would HR professionals have to do to make this resistance worse? And I think that is a very dangerous place to be because, you know, when you hinder AI adoption in an organization, you're also kind of messing with the organization's progress, right? And its trajectory in the right direction, especially in today's day and age. So what kind of behaviors would you warn HR professionals against today?
All right. I think that's a very complimentary view. And so let's talk about what not to do in that case, right? That's how I would put it.
Yeah.
Imagine this. You are a seasoned driver and you are given the latest self-driving car with no user manual or any onboarding, just saying, go enjoy the ride. That's how even an AI literate workforce would feel when new technologies are rolled out without any contextual training. So one thing to remember, familiarity with the concept doesn't translate to fluency in application. In fact, that is where a lot of things fall between the cracks. And we should, transparency is another thing that remains non-negotiable. Rolling out black box solutions without demystifying the decision logic behind them can lead to a lot of skepticism, right? Mm-hmm. The other one is over-reliance on AI. Algorithms are actually brilliant at pattern recognition, but still lack the nuance to spot when somebody is having a day off. In one of my HR, I had this topic of, we were having this debate with one of my HR friends, and she was saying, AI can definitely optimize workflows, but it can't offer a coffee and a kind word when I'm down.
Yeah.
So that, and in fact, that's a space that a lot of research is going into today, emotional AI, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But getting back on track. And I think we should not underestimate the importance of engagement. Right? Even digital natives, the generation today, want their voices heard, right?
Mm-hmm.
People usually support what they help create. So the key here is to co-create, co-own, and hence co-celebrate the AI journey. Right? And the last thing, we should never lose sight of is communication.
Yeah.
Communication is actually a superpower. Without clear, consistent messaging, even AI experts will avoid with a lot of speculation, which is something that you definitely want to avoid.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, as a podcast host, I'm very grateful to you for bringing up the power of communication because it is the one thing that works when all else fails. So let's talk a little bit about how the rules are going to change in the future. I know it's hard to predict, Pranam, and I'm putting you on the spot with a very difficult task, which is predicting how AI is going to evolve. I mean, who knows? But how can HR professionals stay ahead of the curve and ensure that ethical use of AI is guaranteed no matter what the changes are? Because I think that's another dilemma, right? If a technology is evolving constantly, won't the rules of safety also evolve? But how can we predict any of it?
That's a topic that's close to my heart when you look at it, right? It's like staying ahead of a fast-moving train. And so how do we do this? Let's talk about three or four things that would help us. Now, first is continuous learning. Embracing AI's and learning AI's capability and applications every day, because it's such a fast-changing world. The capabilities are evolving at warp speed. I think for HR leaders, investing relentlessly in ongoing education, both for themselves and for their teams, is very important.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to say that you would just not about keeping up with the crowd, but is also staying ahead of the algorithmic. It's very important. The second one, and this is something that you mentioned in your question, embedding ethics from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's very tempting to let AI do the heavy lifting, but remember, AI reflects the data and values we feed it end of the day. Right.
Yeah.
So any biases in hiring algorithms, for example, can unintentionally creep in into the output. The key again is what we spoke about earlier, transparency and accountability. Regularly auditing AI systems for fairness, privacy, etc. And there's a saying that goes, right? Trust, but verify.
Yeah.
And here, you verify often. The third one, which is very important, is fostering collaboration between HR and the AI experts. Right? So look at it this way. AI is not a tool. It's an enabler. It's a replacement for human judgment. That too partially, not entirely. So if you combine HR's empathy and ethical compass with AI's data-driven insights, it creates a powerful synergy. And the last one I can think of is cultivating a culture of openness and communications.
Yeah.
Right? So it's such an AI democratic world today. People are already experimenting with AI tools independently. Now, when you encourage dialogue about AI's role, benefits, and concerns, it builds a trust. It helps HR anticipate and address ethical dilemmas proactively.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In fact, that reminds me of a very nice quote I heard. It says, AI is a mirror reflecting our best and worst selves.
Mm.
And the HR professional, in my view, holds the lens that shapes that reflection. So it's all in our hands.
It is. And that's a pretty empowering thought as well. But I want to ask you, you know, in your experience, and like I said, you've probably seen the entry of it, seen it evolve, and it's probably been a very exciting unfolding of a story where you're standing. But we spoke about employees being afraid to use AI. What about HR professionals, Pranam? Is that something you've witnessed, you know, hesitation for them to include AI into their daily processes, their work life? And what do you think some of the barriers are to AI adoption by HR professionals?
Let's look at the numbers, right? In 2025, AI adoption by HR has surged to 72%. It's like a tidal wave compared to where it was last year. It was at 58%, right?
Wow. Same.
It's a paradigm shift. Now, most HR professionals see AI not as a job-snatching automation, but as they look at it more like an untiring colleague, right? Who never calls in sick or forgets an event. So it is that level of adoption is there. The teams are looking at the value that AI brings in. But at the same time, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Right? The journey is actually fraught with great obstacles, like misinformation, job security fears that haunt over half the population. And of course, data security concerns keep all of us tossing and turning in the night. Mm-hmm. Now, and there's a new term that I heard of the other day. It's an AI techno-stress. Okay. So this is the dread that the algorithm might write your performance review and then ask you for your job. What's there to understand is AI isn't here to replace the human and human resources.
Mm-hmm.
It is here to liberate you from the time you spend in all that administrative drudgery so that the focus can be on strategy and culture.
You know, that's a very interesting point that you just brought up, because I think it goes hand in hand with HR's evolution over the past decade, 15 years, right? We've really seen it move from being just like a business partner to being a strategic partner as a function. And it's interesting to see how AI's story is running in parallel to that. So really interesting thought there. Now, you did bring up hyper-personalization with quite a bit of excitement, I have to say, early on in the conversation. And it's a tech-first world. We're all excited by the thought of hyper-personalization. I don't think you're alone in that. But in the workplace, Rai Pranam, do you think there are any limits for it, you know, as a result of AI and analytics? Do you think there's any areas that should be completely off-limits?
This is where things get really interesting, right? The two sides of this coin as well.
Yeah.
Now, hyper-personalization is very impressive when you look at the output. But let's be honest, it's a little uncanny. So where's the limit? Let's talk about a few areas. I think the answer limit is right at the intersection of value and trust.
Okay.
Now, hyper-personalization can dramatically boost engagement and satisfaction, no doubt about it. But the moment personalization trips over into that creepy or intrusive part, trust evaporates. Okay? An employee should not feel just because you can predict my next move doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Employees have to feel understood, not surveilled. Very important.
Yeah.
The second thing is about hyper-personalization is the question of privacy, ethics, regulation. Again, now, a lot of countries, regions have brought about their AI acts, like EU has their own AI act, where there's a very clear mandate. Use data transparently, ethically, and only as far as employees are comfortable. So I think the way hyper-personalization should be used, it should feel like a concierge, not like a stalker. And the third one, obviously, is around data quality. Because, see, end of the day, the output of AI is as good as the data. Right? So when you look at data quality and hence organizational readiness to it, the hyper-personalization is as good as the data behind it. So if your systems and data is patchy, your personalization becomes very off-target and becomes as good or as bad as a spam email.
Yeah.
So you'll end up building a Rolls-Royce solution for something that could be solved with a tricycle. I think what is important is the limit of hyper-personalization is not a technology challenge. It is about how you thoughtfully and transparently use it. So personalization has to be human-centered, ethical, and it should be a little bit of fun.
A little bit of fun. I like that. That's a bit. What I have to say, Pranav, you're quite the master of analogies on today's podcast as well. I think it's helpful, actually, to, you know, get people to understand what they're dealing with here. And we've very quickly reached the end of the podcast, but I do have one last question for you, which is, you know, really experiential to your own personal journey with AI use as someone in HR, as a leader in HR. What are three things that you always avoid doing, you know, when it comes to the use of AI in your work?
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, three non-negotiables, as I would put it. One would be ignoring bias and ethical issues. Right? Again, that's part of central to this session today. See, Lisa, AI is only as good as the data it learns from. Right? And if half of if that data is biased, AI will happily automate your mistakes and at scale.
Yeah.
So if you train your AI on yesterday's bad habits, you'll get tomorrow's automated discrimination from an HR perspective. That's very clear. Second, over-relying on AI for decision-making.
Mm-hmm.
AI is fantastic at crunching numbers and spotting patterns, but it can't replace human judgment yet, especially in nuanced situations like, say, hiring, promotions, or sensitive employee relations.
Yeah.
So always blend AI insights with human oversight. The third one that I can think of that you shouldn't neglect is neglecting data privacy and security. Now, AI systems have access to vast amounts of sensitive employee data. Now, failing to safeguard this information is a recipe for disaster. Strict data privacy controls, compliance checks are a must, right? So, in summary, avoid bias, don't let AI run the HR show solo, and guard your data. Because some things are just too important to leave to chance.
Yeah. And you know what? I think that's a great note to get to end on, and also to get everyone thinking. Very nutritious food for thought, because there is a lot happening on a daily basis. It's very easy to get overwhelmed. And, you know, there's that phrase, right? I'm only human. But I think when it comes to AI, please remember that it's also only technology, and you have to work with it and also make it work for you and not the other way around, right? It's the first lesson we're taught these days when we get our phones, right? Use your phone, don't let it use you. And I think that, yeah, this conversation has been really valuable. Pranav, thank you so much for joining us on Great FM and for your very practical and actionable insights. I'm sure HR professionals listening and beyond will find it very useful when it comes to building their relationship with AI, because let me tell you, this is one long marriage and it's not going to stop anytime soon. So thank you for being with us.
Thank you once again, Ahalya, for having me on this podcast. If I just want to leave behind a thought, it would be, let's all build workplaces that are just not smarter, but kinder, more transparent, and truly human at heart. Because at the end of the day, the most important algorithm is the one that keeps people at the center. So thank you once again. It was a fun conversation.
Absolutely. What a lovely note. Everyone, stay tuned to the series. We'll be back with more riveting conversations just like this one. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay happy. I'm Ahalya signing off. Catch you soon.
This is Great FM, a podcast series by Great HR. Produced by Timber Media.